It's time for light that darkness can't defeat. It's time to escape from the shadow of death and into abundant life. For the people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Welcome to the Great Light Program with David Oyedepo Jr. Get set to arise and shine, because your light has come.
The Bible recognizes four kinds of wisdom, and this is highlighted in the book of James chapter 3 verse 15 and 16. The Bible recognizes earthly wisdom, which you can refer to as common sense. It refers to sensual wisdom, which you can refer to as intellectual prowess. It refers to devilish wisdom, which is diabolical manipulation. And it refers to the wisdom that comes from above, the heavenly wisdom. Remember, according to scriptures, whatsoever is from above is above all. So this wisdom is above every other kind of wisdom. It puts man in charge of situations. It puts man in dominion over circumstances. The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 5 verse 11 concerning Daniel, this Daniel was put over all of the various Chaldeans, astrologers, magicians, soothsayers by wisdom. He was elevated above them. In other words, the wisdom of God, or the wisdom that comes from above, puts you above all situations, all circumstances, and all contrary forces. I see that wisdom answering for us this month in the name of Jesus. But what really is divine wisdom? What is divine wisdom? Number one, divine wisdom is Holy Ghost inspired insight. As we see in the case of Joseph, Holy Ghost inspired insight. The Bible makes us to understand in Genesis chapter 41, verse 15 and 16. When Pharaoh said to Joseph, he said, "We have heard that you have the ability to interpret a dream." He said, "No, it is not in me, but God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." And by the time the answer came, Pharaoh diagnosed the source. He said, between verse 38 and verse 44, "Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is." In other words, the solution and interpretation of Joseph was not sourced in Joseph, but it was a product of the Spirit of God. So wisdom, or divine wisdom, is Holy Ghost inspired insight, generating solutions from revelations. I see that becoming somebody's experience now in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, according to scriptures in the book of Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1 down to verse 3, it tells us the operations of the Spirit of God, and it ends up in verse 3 by telling us, he said, "And it shall make him of quick understanding." It will give him capacity to proffer quick solutions. I see that wisdom that brings about Holy Ghost inspired answers to the questions of life coming your way in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody believe it, say loud amen. I said somebody believe it, say loud amen. Number two, what is divine wisdom? It is applied knowledge of the truth, as we see in the example of Peter. Applied knowledge of the truth. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 24 and 25, the Bible says, "He that hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. The storms and the wind came, they beat upon the house, but the house remained standing because it was rooted and founded upon the rock." Applied revelation, putting God's word to work, is what we refer to as wisdom. Putting God's word to work. In Peter's example, we see in Luke chapter 5 verse 1 down to verse 8, Peter, having given Jesus his boat to use, Jesus came and said, "Now launch out into the deep," he said, "and go for a draught." Peter said, "We have toiled all night and we have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word we will go." And by him going forth, he returned with a net breaking, boat sinking, order of breakthrough. In other words, it is the application of revelation that we refer to as wisdom. Please hear, this is very important. Wisdom is not the accumulation of revelation, but the application of revelation. What you gather in knowledge does not change you. It is what you apply in knowledge that changes you. So wisdom is applied revelation, as we see in the case of Peter. It's important for us to know also that divine wisdom has unlimited capacity. Say with me, unlimited capacity. To level out all challenges, create solutions, engender supernatural exploits, and confer dominion. It has unlimited capacity to level out challenges. When this wisdom comes, according to Job chapter 28, from verse 7 to verse 23, it uproots all mountains. So challenges are leveled out. It creates solutions. It engenders supernatural exploits. And it gives man automatic dominion. I see this wisdom answering for us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But like we have seen in the definition, it is a Holy Ghost inspired operation. Now, what do we mean by inspiration? What really is inspiration? Inspiration can simply be defined as the move of the Holy Spirit within us. The move of the Holy Spirit within us, which empowers us to gain access into the deep things of God. It is the move of the Holy Spirit within us, empowering us for access into the deep things of God. In Job chapter 32 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration or the breath of the Almighty giveth him understanding." It is the moving of the Holy Ghost inside the being of a man. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible tells us this. He said, "Knowing first that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation." But how did it come? In verse 21, "For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So it is all about the moving of the Holy Ghost, the brooding of the Holy Ghost, and suddenly you find a breaking forth of inspiration. Shout hallelujah. You remember in the story of creation in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 down to verse 3, the Bible says everything was without form, was void, calamity and catastrophe everywhere. He said, "But the Spirit moved upon the water, and the end of the movement was the beginning of light." He said, "Let there be light." You can't have the move of the Spirit and lack light and inspiration. I see the move of the Holy Ghost inside each one of us in this month, producing supernatural inspiration in the name of Jesus. No matter how much calamity, catastrophe, no matter how much devastation is in any department of anyone's life, as the Spirit begins to move, I see divine solutions coming your way. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. I said, somebody believe me, say louder, amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and verse 10, the Bible tells us there, he said, "I had not seen, he had not heard, it has not entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." He said, "But the Spirit shall reveal them unto us." He said, "For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." No matter how deep that thing is, the Spirit of God is your supernatural access. And I see that the Spirit of God today, by this moving operation, unveiling light to you in every situation in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, it's important to note that inspiration enhances our capacity to draw insight from the things we see, the things we hear, the things we read, or the things we study. It gives us capacity to draw insight from the things we see, from the things that we hear, the things that we read, or the things that we study. It gives us capacity. You see, everything that is around us has something to add to us. And it is inspiration, this operation of the Holy Ghost, that gives us capacity to draw out of it. The Bible makes us to understand in the book of Proverbs chapter 24 from verse 30 down to verse 33. We see this operational in the life of Solomon. He said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man that was void of understanding. He said, and lo, it was grown over with thorns, and nestles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And I saw, and I considered it well. I looked upon it, and by inspiration I received instruction. What did I see? He said, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. He said, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. He saw, he considered, and he received instruction. That same field, many people passed it, but yet they saw nothing. But inspiration draws lessons out of every observation. Inspiration draws lessons out of every observation. We heard a testimony this morning of one of us. He said he came to this commission in the year 2004. And upon his arrival, everything in his family looked upside down. He said in the community, nobody even could finish primary school. And all he knew was hawking. But he arrived here 2004, and suddenly he heard certain words. He said he heard God's servant say that he saw a man at an elderly age, very advanced age, selling newspapers. And when he saw that man, he took an instruction from it, that this is a picture of a misinvested youth. And when he heard that, he took advantage of it. Now the one who came from a community where nobody has common entrance is now living in a realm where he's a doctoral student. Why? By taking instruction from somebody else's observation. I'd like you to understand that everything around you has a lesson to teach you. Everything around you has an instruction to give you. And inspiration simply draws lessons, draws insight, draws revelation from every observation. My prayer today is that via the encounter we are having upon this mountain, you begin to see light in every situation. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. I said, somebody believe me, say louder, amen. It makes you draw lessons from what you see, from what you read, from the things that you hear, from the things that you study. Everything has a lesson to give. Everything has light to issue. Solomon one day looked at the ants in the book of Proverbs chapter 6, and he said, they know how to provide their meat. And he said, go, O sluggard, to the ant and learn a lesson. Everything has something to teach. I pray that God will give us today that movement of the Spirit that will draw lessons out of all that we observe in the name of Jesus. Somebody believe me, say a loud amen. I said, somebody believe me, say a loud amen. We also discover that inspiration, number three, is the master key to flowing in divine wisdom. Any man of inspiration will be a man or woman that is operating in divine wisdom. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible tells us from verse 16 down to verse 17. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished, properly equipped to handle every situation. So it is the master key to wisdom. A man that is inspired cannot be cornered. Inspiration gives you a way out of every situation. I see that becoming somebody's experience now in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody believe me, say loud amen. Now, very quickly, what are the channels of divine wisdom? What are the channels of divine wisdom? What are the channels that will give you the access to the wisdom of God? Number one channel that we look at this morning is a life of integrity. Or the fear of the Lord. A life of integrity. Or the fear of the Lord. There is nothing that depraves man's wisdom like sin. And nothing secures man's wisdom like righteousness. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, speaking of those who have committed themselves to sin, it said there, it said, therefore, because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. to do the things that are not convenient. In other words, their commitment to sin was the disengagement of their mentality. You see, sin erodes man's mind. The quality of our mind, the quality of our intellect, the capacity to prefer solution is damaged by continuous engagement in sin. That is why the Bible says in the book of Psalm chapter 111 and verse 10, the Bible tells us there very clearly, it said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It said, a good understanding of all them that do his commandment is praise endured forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, and whatever does not have a beginning cannot have a continuation. Without the fear of God, you don't have a beginning on the journey to wisdom. That is why to be scheming and thinking it is intelligence is to be depraving your mentality. To be cornering people and thinking it is wisdom is to be depraving your capacity. We must come to understand that our ability in God to access divine wisdom is only enhanced via our commitment to the fear of the Lord. Our commitment to the fear of the Lord is the secret to gaining access to the wisdom of God. In Psalm chapter 25 and in verse 14, the scripture tells us this. It said, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Remember, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, and it is the honor of God to set it out. But the Bible said the secret of God is only accessible to those that fear him. No matter how much you engage in searching, you will not find until you fear him. The fear of the Lord is the access we have to the secret of God. And the secret of God is the maker of stars. We saw that in the story of Job, in Job 29 verse 4. He said, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. So we must become committed to the fear of the Lord, because that is our access to the secret of God. What gave Job access to that secret? In the book, the Bible tells us in Job chapter 1 and in verse 3, he said, this man feared God, he said, and he eschewed evil, and he was a perfect man, one that eschewed evil and feared the Lord. The fear of God was the secret access he had to the secrets of God. You know, this is very important. God can never hide a thing and a man find it without him allowing him to find it. We have little children in our homes, and many times we have certain items that we want to hide so that they don't damage it. And we're able to hide those items from those children, and they are not able to find it. Why? Because by reason of age, by reason of experience and exposure, we are wiser than they are now. In the same vein, God is wiser than every man. He's called the only wise God. When God calls something a secret, it means it's hidden. He cannot hide it and you find it except he leads you to it. And that is why no man can gain access to the secret of God without the fear of God. Because the Bible said there very clearly, he said, the secret of God is with them that fear him. How did they find him? He find it. He said, he will show them his covenant. Only what God shows can be found. What God conceals can never be located. It is therefore only the assistance of God that gives access to the inspirations of God. And that is why the fear of God must remain our continuous commitment in channeling our access to divine wisdom. Number two channel that we have to divine wisdom is word encounters. Say with me, word encounters. In Psalm 119 verse 130, the Bible says, the entrance of his word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. The entrance of his word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. The word simple there means foolish. It means that the entrance of God's word, an encounter with the word of God, can turn a foolish man to a wise man. It doesn't matter how you start, just engage with God. As long as the word of God gains entrance into a man's life, it will turn his mentality around. If you look at the testimony we heard of that brother, he came from a family where there seemed to be a siege, a curse upon everybody. That curse must have been upon the mind of many. And that did not allow them to have capacity to educate themselves. And they must have failed in their droves. Because if nobody left primary school, they didn't pass common entrance. They cannot enter secondary school. There was no access to going forward. But then as he came in contact with a word, his mentality opened up. That he not only finished first degree, finished second degree, and is on the way now to finishing his PhD. That is mental acceleration by the opening of his word. I pray this morning that via the word you are hearing today, your mind will open up to divine wisdom. I remember the testimony of God's servant, our father. He said one time he had an encounter with God. And after that encounter, he said literally he began to feel sparks in his head. That is, the mind came alive. And he began to understand that a dangerous frequency. Because the word of God that enters a man's life opens it up to light. And when that becomes that individual's experience, you enter into the wisdom of heaven. I see that becoming your experience in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, I see that becoming your experience in the name of Jesus Christ. I see that becoming your experience in the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13, we see there, and verse 15, Paul speaking to Timothy, he said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And verse 15, he said, meditate upon these things and give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear unto all. We must get committed to pursuing the word, because the word you find, the word you locate, is what changes your world. Remember, the scripture says that by faith we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which appear were made out of things that do not appear. There is no area of your life that cannot be reshaped. Family life can be reshaped. Business life can be reshaped. Career life can be reshaped. Relational life can be reshaped. Academic life can be reshaped by an encounter with the word of God. I pray for you this morning that encounter that will reshape every department of your life will come your way speedily in the name of Jesus. Somebody believe me, say loud amen. But remember what the scripture said in that verse 15 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. He said, meditate on these things and give yourself wholly unto them. Commit yourself to the word. It is those who are committed to the word that have their word committed to them. Those who are committed to God's word, they are the ones who will have their own word committed to them. The Bible said concerning Joseph, he said, until the time that his word came. So there is your word, but you will not find your word until you are committed to the word. The commitment you have to the word of God is what will ultimately determine what God is able to commit to you as your word. I see your word coming very speedily in this season in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, it's important for us to understand how the divine wisdom keys to our supernatural settlement. The divine wisdom keys, the wisdom keys that are required for us to enjoy all-round settlement. Because God has called this our covenant day of settlement. It means he has made a covenant to settle you. But you must know the keys that you will employ in order to see this settlement come to pass. Number one key that we are going to look at this morning is this. We must labor in the word on any area of concern to the point of faith. Labor in the word. Labor in the word on any area of concern to the point of faith. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 down to verse 11, this is what the Bible says. It said, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. He said, for he that is entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works as God did from his. And verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into this rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let us labor to enter. What kind of labor is he talking about? In 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17, he said, count the elders that rule well of double honor, especially they who labor in the word. Labor where? So you labor in the word on any area of concern. You are there and it looks like there is no job. You are there, it looks like your business is not working. You are there, it looks like marriage is not working. You take God's word on that area of concern and begin laboring till your faith comes alive. When your faith comes alive, you enter into rest in that area. I remember the testimony of a woman who was reading a book called Face Up with a Miracle. And she was reading that book. She was crippled in her legs. And her faith began to rise. as she entered into that book, going further, laboring in the world. And suddenly she was right there standing before a washing machine doing her laundry, waiting for it to dry up in order to move it to the washing, to the dryer. And suddenly, as soon as it dried, she put down the book and began moving the items. It was while moving the items she discovered, wait a minute, I've left my chair behind. I'm standing. There was no struggle because she had labored to the point of faith, and therefore she entered into her rest. I see you entering into your rest this time in the name of Jesus. I said, I see you entering into your rest this time in the name of Jesus. I see you entering into your rest this time in the name of Jesus. God's servant, our father, said that he came across the word of God after reading a book if the man God uses. And he came across Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. And God opened his eyes through that labor in the word. And suddenly he said, I suddenly came to understand that as I commit myself to this thing, my tomorrow is shorter than today. He entered into rest about tomorrow, even in the present day. So agitation of the future died by revelation that came from labor. We must come to understand that men of revelation are men of sufficient labor. If you don't dig your ground, you will not reach water. If you don't dig his word, you will not reach revelation. There must be commitment to labor in the word. I see grace coming upon our lives to labor adequately in the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, one must stay in love with Christ to be settled. You must stay in love with Christ to be settled. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, he said, all things work together for the good of them that love God. He said, those who are called according to his purpose. Everyone who is a lover of God has things naturally working for them. You can't work against a lover of God. Everything works on their behalf. If you check it, even your calculation, if you look at it and you see men calculating against a man who is a lover of God, even their calculation is to his advantage. You look at the calculation of the brothers of Joseph. They were calculating against Joseph. They said, let us see what will become of his dream. But they didn't know that while they were arranging for his demise, they were also arranging for his transportation to the land where he will become the king. They didn't know that when they were killing the kid, in order to put the blood upon his garment, they were making a sacrifice of a lamb, which meant that he could not die. The lamb has died for him. They didn't know that when Potiphar's wife arranged for him to go to jail, she didn't know it was an appointment with somebody who was going to the palace. When the man who went to the palace forgot about him, he didn't know that he was only waiting for Pharaoh to have a problem that would give Joseph the access to the throne. I'd like you to understand, a lover of God can never be frustrated. From today, as the love of God comes alive in your heart, I see you walking beyond frustration in the name of Jesus. But how do you know a lover of God? A lover of God is a lover of the things that God loves. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do you love me more than this? He said, Master, you know I do. He said, if you do, feed my lambs. If you do, feed my sheep. If you do, keep my lambs. In other words, get committed to gathering those that belong to me. Going out, reaching out, driving out, pulling them in to the one fold. Remember Jesus said, other sheep do I have? He said, and them must I bring, that there will be one fold and one shepherd. That's why God is telling you and I in this season that we must go forth. And we must go in this operation to bring them to come and see God at work. And as we do so, we are demonstrating our love. And a lover of God is not permitted to be frustrated. You shall never be frustrated. I say you shall never be frustrated. Number three, one must enter into a covenant to serve God. Second Chronicles chapter 12, chapter 15, verse 12 to 15. We saw there Asa and the land of Judah. They entered into a covenant to serve God. The result of it was God gave them rest, round about, comprehensive settlement. I see that kind of settlement becoming your experience now in the name of Jesus Christ. Get into a covenant. Commit yourself to serve God, to serve the interest of his kingdom, and you enter into a realm of settlement. All round rest. Remember Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all other things that others are wrestling for. He said you will enter rest concerning them. I see that becoming your experience in the name of Jesus Christ. Number four, one must be planted in the house of God. Until you are planted and rooted in God's house, you cannot be a partaker of his settlement. In Psalm chapter 132, verse 12 down to verse 15, the Bible tells us there, it says, for the Lord has chosen Zion, he has desired it for his habitation. He said, this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. And as you come, he said, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. He said, and I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. I see that becoming your experience in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, I see that becoming your experience in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come to understand, therefore, as we begin to come towards the close, that by redemption, there is no child of God that is ordained to suffer beyond a while or a moment. Any affliction that is beyond this or that is of long continuance is a curse. And because Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law, it is not permitted. You are not permitted to suffer beyond a while or beyond a moment. Now, let us give definition. What really is a while? What is a while? And we look at this scripturally from God's word. Number one, a while means right now. Say with me, right now. Come on, say it louder, right now. A while is right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I like that. Now is the accepted time. And now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And now is the day. I like that. So you must come to understand that God's settlement package includes right now. That is why I know that there are people under the sound of my voice that various areas of your life will be settled right now. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. I said various areas of your life will be settled right now. Number two, now means 1 hour. 1 hour. As we see in scriptures, 1 hour. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8 to 10, and also in verse 13. 1 hour. 1 hour. The centurion encountered Jesus and concerning his servant, and the servant was made whole in the self same hour. Self same hour. There are many people that are hearing me this morning that within an hour you shall be settled. Number three, a while means overnight. It means overnight. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5. For weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Overnight. Number four, a while means one day. One day, 24 hours. 2 Kings chapter 7. Verse 1 and verse 2. The Bible makes us to understand after the famine was in the land of Samaria, Elijah prophesied. He said, by this time tomorrow, the economy would have changed. And within 24 hours, everything turned around. There are people hearing me right now that within 24 hours, everything would have turned around for you. Finally, a while means 3 days. He said, after 2 days, it will revive us, and on the third day it will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 2. I'd like to welcome you right now at last to your season of settlement. I welcome you to your season of settlement. I welcome you this morning to your season of settlement. Somebody believe me, say a loud amen.
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's knocking at the door. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's at the door.
Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know that I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day you rose again. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior.
take control of me from this day forward. Now I know that I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I pray for you, Father. I thank you today for these precious ones you have drawn into your kingdom. Let the grace that has brought them keep them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for each one of them, we decree today that the barriers against their life and destiny be broken in the name of Jesus. Grace to walk with you all the days of their lives. Release it upon them. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Somebody believe, say aloud, amen.
If you have just received Christ as your Lord and Savior, or were blessed through this broadcast, we would love to hear from you. For inquiries and testimonies, send an email to info@tglmedia.org. We also invite you to visit one of our Winners Chapel churches near you anywhere around the world. Until next time, keep walking in the great light.